Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Well, welcome. Welcome. We're going to give you guys a chance to jump on with us, but we are doing a special live today. We've been doing this here and there every month or so. And coming up, Bob, is Rosh Hashanah this weekend. And one of the things I believe as a Christian is that God gives us an opportunity to really set aside time to hear his voice. You know, and of course, we do that daily and we pray and we read the Bible. But there's seasons and times that are festivals in the Jewish holidays and feasts and festivals. And this is one of them. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. And so we're going to be even looking at that today a little bit with what we're talking about. And we want to come on live and jump on and talk to you guys about boldness. And we're going to have that discussion in a few minutes. Before we get there, we do want to pay tribute to Reverend Charlie Kirk, who passed away last week. It was really one of the most traumatic things I think that's happened in modern history. I know Sheree and I were devastated by the news, especially because Charlie was one of the ones who was a bold figure in the social commentary in the media world that really prepared a way for a lot of conservative social commentators to rise up in the other spheres that weren't being listened to in mainstream news media. And all of a sudden he came up through the back door, which would be podcasting, news radio, and those kinds of events, like college events and things. And he was taken out for the sake of the speech that he gave, like the different ways that he engaged in hostile environments and allowed public discourse, like actually good public discourse between two very different points of view. And people didn't like it. Satan hated it and people didn't like it. And someone took him out because of it. It's an ongoing story. We're learning more information about it all the time, but we just really were impacted by that. And I think today the discussion on boldness is going to be a really profound one because of who Charlie was. But Bob, how are you doing?
Sean, I'm great. I hope everybody out there is great also. And I love the topic on boldness. And as we've enter into our fifth season of this podcast, Sean, are having this conversation with ordinary people about what business and career looks like.
Yeah.
And today, I think having a conversation about boldness in business, it means a lot of different things in today's world, doesn't it? So I'm hoping that in this conversation we can talk to people about how to manage through various crises. I mean, even in the recent past, Sean, from COVID and vaccines and the political parties, there's just been a lot of headway, a lot of waters to navigate. Yeah. And as a business person, how do you do that? We've seen companies get canceled or lose their businesses because of statements they've made. And I think it's interesting as we move forward, what does boldness look like?
Yeah, I agree. Cause I think, you know, for Christians, a lot of us, we know that we have a message of being a voice. I know one of my favorite people, Rabbi Jason Sobel, he's given a prophetic word every Rosh Hashanah for years. And one of the main themes he has done, because this being the year of what he calls pay, which is the Hebrew language, is the alphanumeric language. And so many people didn't know that you're Jewish. So you must be fluent in the Hebrew language. Am I correct? Just kidding. Yeah. No, but it's the alphanumeric language, though. And so when you look at the year it is, or the decade that we're in right now for alphanumeric language of the Jewish calendar, one of the words could be voice, to be a voice. And so he was prophesying, like, we're all called to have a voice. Now, everybody has a voice, whether they're using it for good or not. And sometimes Christians limit themselves to the words or the stand that they take verbally versus the lifestyle that they're living, and also the love that they're bringing. And so there's, in light of what happened with Charlie Kirk, one of the things I loved about him is that he was violent for truth, but didn't have a violent bone in his body for actual violence. You know what I mean? He went after the truth of the gospel, the truth of conservative values, but he was kind to people when he did it, even when people would debate him, have an opposite end of him. I mean, he would, I saw one lady, he was like, she was going to say something really, really awful as far as his values. But he immediately started out going, oh, your baby's beautiful. Wow, what a blessing from God. Like, how are you? And then started talking to her. Like, he was genuinely a kind person, a good person. And I feel like a lot of times when Christians hear the word boldness, it's almost an excuse to turn off emotional intelligence and to turn off empathy and kindness and compassion and just become kind of like the zealot that Jesus had to rebuke. You know, it's like, no, that's not how we're going to do things. That's not like, you know, how the kingdom of God works. So I think like coming back into business, like you personally, one of the things I respect about you is that you're not a faith forward business. Your business is for God, but you're not like doing a Christian business with fishes all over it. You're just doing a business, but your people are really impacted by your faith. And so mm-hmm. people are called to do a faith forward job and career. They feel like that's how they're supposed to start their business or their career. Others feel like they're supposed to be more like a stealth missile, and both can be bold and powerful in their own ways. And it's just, but there's a lot of criticism towards people who in certain spheres who don't do things so overtly or stand so overtly. So what do you say to that?
Well, I think we're in business to provide a good or service, and we don't want to alienate our customers. And in the past 5 years, we've seen a lot of companies alienate their customers from Disney to Bud Light and others. And so I think we have to be careful about how we go about our boldness. And we choose to operate our company with high character, high integrity, and high morality. And we have checks and balances in that, providing goods and services. And I think that that's how we're called. But I know businesses that have a fish on the bottom of their product. I know businesses that have scriptures on their products, and that's how they're called. And I think all of us have to figure out where we're called, how we're called, who we are, mm-hmm. and then operate in our calling that way.
Well, it's funny because one of the first guys who was going to build us a website as a ministry, he came to us and he had this kind of value system questionnaire first. And I was like, I wonder what this is. And I was like, answer the question. Super easy for a ministry to answer. And I was like, so tell me about this. And he goes, well, I got fired from my company because I wouldn't make websites for people who didn't have the same value system as us. It was a very public, secular company. And so I decided to go into a business where I only did business with people I aligned values to. And I was like, wow, it's going to be a very small business. Because even in Christianity, there's a narrow margin of what fits exactly my type and your type. You know, it's just, it's going to be really hard. And he wasn't successful. Like I'm now, that was, you know, so many years ago, he wasn't successful because it's not possible. And so I think you got to take the religious undertones out of this, religion being not relational connection to God and not a connection to God that's based on true, authentic intimacy with God, but it's based on rules, regulations, and principles that are more of the law. And God, Jesus came to abolish the law. And I think for me, I feel like I love In-N-Out and seeing that there's scriptures in the bottom of their cups, or I love, you know, Hobby Lobby and what they've done for the Christian, you know, community and also exposing the world to things like He Gets Us and whatever. But not everyone's called to be that overt or to be that direct. Some people are called to be in a career like a doctor or a nurse or even to have a business like you're talking about and maybe not be as vocal externally, but internally they're living something that sometimes is in their marriage or their family, or sometimes in the values of how they do the boardroom or whatever. That is just so beautiful. And I've been in some of those places that I'm like, wow, this is better Christianity. This is one of the most overt, faith-forward companies I've ever seen, or even better than ministries I've been involved with because they're doing it right. And I think boldness looks like something, but it's not always visible to everyone.
Right. That's good. That's boldness looks like something, but it's not always visible to everyone. That's a good, I like that. You know, we're ordinary people. Pardon me?
Should I make a share square and send it out there?
Yes. You know, I think of Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. And we're called to be strong and courageous. You know, I think boldness, like we've talked about, what about boldness in unstable markets? Right now, today, we've had a Fed cut. But the markets have been, you know, sort of up and down, and kind of people don't really know what's going on.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny because you talk about that. Like, it's, I feel like the number one question I get right now is people are pulling on my pastoral side or my minister side, just saying, "What is God showing you? You know, what is God showing you anything about the markets?" Because people are just, it's so volatile, and some people are watching certain things, like crypto markets have gone way up, but they could crash at any time or go up further. Or they're watching, you know, the stock market has done had a rebound in some areas and not in other areas. It's just wild to watch the volatility of what we don't know is going to happen. I mean, people who are trusting Trump are believing that what he said is true and we're going to have an incredible market 2 years from now. People who don't trust Trump or just don't trust government at all are like, I don't know. Like, I got to know. But I just know, like, boldness with Sri and I and how we operate as a family is like obedience to God. So God, show us how to invest our time, our energy, our money, our resources. And so I think we've been really prayerful and asking God where to look and what he'll show us, because there's not like one. So like, it used to be that there's like two or three sources talking about the stock market that everyone kind of trusted one of three. And it's not like, it's like there's a million and you don't know which ones. And so many of them crashed people out over the last decade that no one trusts them anymore. Like, there's not like one person you go to, right? To just trust. Well, you do, because you have a son who's in the financial markets, you trust him. But again, it's discernment, intuition, gut. So yeah, I think we're at a place where we really have to rely on God and good information, get really good information.
Yeah, I think having a clear plan in place is really important when you get into choppy markets or instability. And coming back to look at your plan, whether it's a strategic business plan or an investment plan, whatever it is, just staying true to the plan. We have to shift and adjust as things in our lives shift and adjust. And, you know, when we're in business, we're susceptible to market adjustments also. And so looking at worst case scenarios or downsides, having triggers, if this happens, then it's going to trigger that. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, decades ago, having worst case scenarios or trigger plans in place were literally, we're never going to use that.
Yeah.
And these days, since COVID and since all the changes that have happened, you feel like you're looking at your worst case scenario more often. Like, do we need to trigger this?
Yeah. I mean, that's so true. And I think Christians have been, in our circle, when we have these interviews with people, they share about their experiences, their very real experiences in their career and their marketplace. Usually a lot of more entrepreneurs, a lot of more, well, we have people who are in like full on careers too. I think it's wild to listen to their stories, Bob, and you probably feel the same, where it's like, a lot of times they'll tell us something that reveals an aspect that you never thought of before of how they made a choice that God led them specifically and specially. I think that's our superpower right now, is that we mm-hmm. don't just look for trends, but we're actually looking for God to lead us. Mm-hmm. That's like our superpower, because there's so much that's going wrong right now. And it's not trying to get a word from somebody. It's not like going to a charismatic meeting and trying to get a word from the pastor or prophet type guy. Mm-hmm. It's actually listening to God and saying, God, you care about me as your son or your daughter. You care about me. And you care more about this than I do. You care more about my future, about my career, about this business, about what we're building. And I keep hearing that over and over from our interviews, which gives me a lot of courage, because it's 2025.
Right.
And there's a lot of messed up stuff out there in different industries. And so to hear people that are actually like, not just surviving, but in thriving mode in different industries that I hear other friends that are just surviving in, is like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah. And so I think, again, Sean, how many times in these 5 years have I quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? But it's a really good scripture.
It is.
Quote right now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. And I think in instability and choppy markets and a hard time in the nation right now, we really have to trust the Lord and recognize that he is in control. He is in control.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny, Bob, because I'm seeing people who just joined on, and one of them is from Dubai. Hello. I think your name is Anjum from Dubai. And then we have Wisconsin. Carrie, we love you, Carrie. That's awesome that you're joining in. It's really interesting. Our show, so we do Exploring the Marketplace, for those of you who've never listened to it, it's a show where we just do a little bit of a real talk between Bob and I, and then we interview someone in different marketplaces around the world of different types. So some are business owners, some are career driven. And what's interesting is I was looking at the podcast statistics, and I hadn't looked at them in a while, honestly. Like, and I looked at them and I sent you one of them. I think I just maybe texted you. I didn't see the image, but I texted you because Alicia and I were going back and forth about it. And in places like Finland and Norway and Dubai and other places, we're trending as a podcast in the top Christian podcasts, sometimes the top 20, sometimes the top 200. In a podcast, we're not advertising. We're not putting advertisement dollars into it, but we're just having a conversation. And I think it's because people need a prototype to see what faith looks like to be bold. So people are looking at, like, what does it look like to be a CEO of a company, or to be a doctor, or to be a farmer? We've had farmers on, or to be a financial investor, and actually walk out the hard things. And quick, because people are going through, like, some people lost everything during COVID. Some people switched careers during COVID. Some people are now switching careers now. Some people are, you know, we're in one field and are in a completely different field with the same skill set. And to hear their stories, I think, is that, you know, faith comes by hearing, but also boldness. And we're talking about this issue of boldness. It actually does come by hearing sometimes those stories. And I know for me, I've been able to be way more bold after seeing someone like Charlie Kirk. And he was, you know, who we mentioned at the top of the hour, at the top of the show. It's like seeing Charlie Kirk's faith and my other side of what I do with the Sean Bowles show. There's a part of me that I look at someone like Charlie and I've watched his faith play out, and he would give me courage all the time. So I think having those prototypes too, and, you know, you're welcome to listen to our show to get it, but there's also other places that God will give you prototypes of what boldness looks like in your arena is really important.
Yeah. And hearing, one of the reasons that we do Exploring the Marketplace is because hearing these testimonies of boldness gives us faith that if our guest on our particular episode can do it, then we all can do it.
Yeah.
Listeners can do it. You and I can do it. It's just amazing hearing the testimonies of the faith of people who have gone in situations that seemed impossible and God's come through to them. And so that I think really, really helps our boldness by hearing, you know, that these testimonies over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's not just online that we hear from you guys. Sometimes you guys come up to us in our public space. I love it. I had Angel come up to me at Wawa's here in Florida yesterday. I was with my daughters picking him up from school, and we had to stop and get gas. So I got a little treat inside, and he came up, Bob, and said, he's a Hispanic man who was a missionary for a while down in South America, but now has started a business. And he said, your podcast helps me so much. Thank you. I can't believe I'm meeting you. I think it's a God thing, you know, because it just puts you in front of me for what some of the stories you guys have released for your show have given me courage and faith for. So I'm just like, that's the kind of story that I get all the time because you guys are so amazing at just engaging us and like talking about this subject, which I think is not talked about enough in local churches, to talk about careers and where God is in markets and what it looks like to start out, you know, a project. And I know we've been doing a couple things, Bob, that one of them is we're going to launch, and this is an announcement today, but we're going to launch a seminar on how to become a podcaster, because myself and then the woman who's going to do it with us, Jenny Lee Samuels, is we have a lot of well-known podcasts between the two of us. She has a couple and I have three. And so we're like, there's a lot of people who want to have a voice right now, and podcasting has actually increased in 2025 again. It decreased last year and has increased again. And so we're looking at, like, how do we help empower people with boldness to do what they're called to and actually go after it? And I think that people perish because of lack of vision and knowledge. It says in the Bible in Proverbs. And I think one of our responsibilities is to get the tools around us to empower that boldness so we don't let that flame die, but actually to go after it. And so I think, like, for me, I'm always trying to provide those tools, hence I'm a podcaster, hence we're in media, you know, those things.
Yeah. And you, it's been the curiosity that you have to ask questions for people and to take on topics that are hard in a way that seems like can be a conversation is really, really great. And we've done that here. And I'm really looking forward to season 5 as we continue the conversation about what we're doing in the marketplace.
Okay, well, let's gears a little bit, because you preached on last Sunday at your local church, or the Sunday before at your local church, on the goodness of God. And I want to hear a little bit about that. And people can get that from Jesus Culture San Diego. If you want to hear Bob's message, talk to us. Cause I think in the midst of boldness, there has to be a perspective or a pursuit of God's goodness. because there's so much tragedy, right? We look all around and we're like, oh my gosh, this has been a heavy couple of weeks with, you know, as far as America, we've had mass shootings in two places. Even in San Diego, there's a pastor who is assaulted, and you have the shootings in the school. You have the woman who was killed on the bus, the Ukrainian refugee. You have Charlie Kirk. It's been a heavy couple of weeks as far as the spirit of death over our country. But at the same time, there's so much good. Like, there's on the other side of this is God's doing something. He's positioning something. And those are not casualties to God's war. God always wins his battles. These are things that human evil and demonic evil has done. But talk about the goodness of God in the midst of what we're facing in culture.
Yeah, I think if it's not good, then God's not done. Mm-hmm. And I preach about the goodness of God out of the book of Job. And one of the things that hit me was it's the sixth longest book in the Bible. There's 42 chapters. And in the first chapter, all this devastation happens. And it's not until the second half of the 42nd chapter that God restores Job's fortune and his family. And so to me, that means that we have to be patient. We have to trust God. We have to be in a place where we recognize that there's evil on the planet, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against powers and principalities and rulers of the air. And if we can have that viewpoint, then we can look at these tragedies with compassion, but recognizing that God's at work and he's going to win. And everything that you mentioned has been tragic, and it had an oppression over it. But it was interesting when in chapter one, when Job got all this news, he shaved his head, he tore his robe, he threw ashes on his head, and then he fell down and worshiped God. Mm. And how many of us in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of uncertainty, will fall down and praise God. I know that in my life, we had a medical family crisis last year, and I didn't fall down and worship God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did once it was over.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do, to recognize that God's in control, whatever the circumstances are.
Yeah. It's funny because we showed a woman on the Sean Bull Show this week. She was on the Tim Pool podcast. And so we just showed a clip from Tim Pool's podcast. And she was defining as somebody who was diagnosed as bipolar and spent the first half of her life in therapy, because we're talking about the mental health crisis over Generation Z. And she was talking about how she was on five, you know, psychotic drugs and these kinds of things, and how therapy and everything gave her such a self-focus. And it wasn't until she became born again. She told another podcast. I was listening to the whole podcast, and I don't normally do that because it's an hour long. And she shared how when she became born again, she realized like it was about worshiping God, not about herself. And that's what changed everything in her pursuit of life. And she went from living with a mental health diagnosis that labeled her to having a relationship with God that labeled her. And then that became subservient to it. It no longer was the main thing. So she, you know, talked about having like, she was the main character of that story all the time in her life, and she couldn't see others because she was always balancing everything against this mental health crisis that she was in. And she was talking about how a generation is going through that right now. And I bring that up because you say, like, is your first response, did you worship God when you went through the health crisis in the family? No. And a lot of times we don't do that because we're not at a place to where we see who he is. We understand his nature. And some people are going through it, like maybe in their business or their career, it's like they're losing a job or they're going bankrupt or they're going through something. It's like, is our first response when we go through hardship worship, or Charlie Kirk dying? It's like, was, you know, my first response was Sheree was like, after devastation, grief, horror, was like, okay, I wanted to fight, you know, and Sheree was like literally turning on worship music and worshiping. And I'm like, I want to fight. Where's the battle? I'm going to go for it, you know? And she's like, I respect you. You need to do your process, but I just need to worship. Mm-hmm. So she was there, what you're talking about, and I wasn't there. So I think it's a really beautiful, like when you look at the goodness of God and where he started and where he finished in Job, that's powerful.
He finished with more than he had before and lived to, you know, a long age.
Yeah.
But we see the level of tragedy, and he didn't. I don't. One of the things that was interesting is that through the text, he wished he wasn't born. I mean, it wasn't like he just was joyful that he was going through this trial. He was grieving deeply while he was worshiping God. And so I think there's just a lesson in there, you know, for all of us.
Well, I want to hear the whole message again. I only listened to part of it today. So everyone, if you want to listen to the message, go to Jesus Culture San Diego. And Bob is 2 weeks ago speaking.
I think they put it up in the chat. So
good. Oh, that's awesome. I see it there. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, Bob, let's pray for everybody. And if there's any questions that we can answer about boldness or about your place in career, or things that are happening in career or marketplace focus that you're involved with, we're glad to answer those. We're not going to be talking much about outside of that. I'm not putting my social commentary hat. We're more putting on our pastoral hat for exploring the marketplace. If that applies to you today, we can look at some of the questions. Feel free to answer them or ask them in the chat. And we in Facebook, I think we're on YouTube, Facebook. I believe we're on Twitter, Instagram. So Bob, let's go for it. Let's pray. Why don't you pray for us?
Well, Lord, thank you that you're in control. Mm-hmm. You're in control of the earth, the heavens and the earth. And we can trust you. Lord, we pray for the entire world, for the evil that's happening, Lord, and recognize that we battle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers of the air. And we need to put our full armor on. Mm-hmm. And as we put our full armor on, that'll give us the ability to understand how you're calling us to move forward.
Yes, God.
And I pray, Lord, for each one of us that as you call us to move forward, we would obey you. Lord, some are called to be commentators. Some are called to be in business. Some are called to not say anything, and some are called to say a lot of things. So, Lord, show us what to do in our careers and our businesses. And we ask, Lord, for a stability in the fight against evil, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just ask that your will would be done. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we're getting a lot of encouragement from you guys in the comments. And I like some of the things you're even saying just in your own lives of just processing boldness and the season where, like, Jeannie, you said, I need to stop spinning my wheels and just go. Jeannie, I think you're always going, which I love. something. And Jose, it's the great content. Thanks for this topic and blessings to all. I love that. And someone did, Jeannie, you did ask the question, how do we get off the hamster wheel? I'm stuck in paralysis. And I think she has a lot. I know Jeannie, so she has a lot of projects, Bob, that she's being faithful to God with. But what would you say to that? Not knowing her, but knowing that a lot of people feel like they're on a hamster wheel or a gerbil wheel.
Well, if you have a lot of projects, I think prioritizing them is super important. And once you prioritize them, I mean, you can look at it from a monetization standpoint, what project's going to make money or what project's going to have the most impact. But I think once you prioritize a lot of projects, you'll see that you're maybe spending too much time on a project that isn't going to have as much impact or monetize the way you want. And once you prioritize, you'll see moving forward, like, I have these as my top five. I need to focus on these top five. Mm-hmm. And Sean, you and I talk a lot about when we focus on something, that's when things begin to happen in that issue. So, So that's what I would say to her is that put a priority list together and then focus on the things that are the most important and let the other things go on the back burner.
I love that. Yeah, it's funny too, Bob, because if you're a creative person or a strategist or those kinds of things, you could have all kinds of ideas. And when you actually start to implement them, you start to realize what I would die for. Like, what would I die on that hill for? And what would I not? And I know for me, like, there's certain whole areas of career in ministry that I don't even do anymore, that I don't even mind at all.
Right.
Because it was like, man, like even traveling was one of the things I did and spoke all around the world all the time. And when I stopped doing that, one of the things I loved about that is that I was able to give my attention and time. I was actually transferring my attention and time to media. And media doesn't go necessarily always as deep, but it goes more broad. And so it's so much more fun to be in people's lives weekly through content versus once a year in traveling to them. And so, like, I think if you prioritize and look at what has personal God significance to me, and it could be over a creative project, or it could be over a humanitarian project or a ministry or your career itself. And I think some people will go, okay, and we get idealistic, like we're going to write our first book. And so we blow up into thinking, I'm going to write 20 books and it's going to be so significant. And maybe it's one, you know, maybe it's just one project, one and done. So I think, like, even not fantasizing about the whole bigness of the next 30 years, but just really enjoying the process here with that project is important too. And so that's my thought, is that things will change and you'll transition a lot in your lifetime. So just give yourself the grace to dream, but don't dream so big that you lock yourself into certain roles that you won't die for 5 years from now. You won't want to live there anymore.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I think we did it.
We did it. We're at the end, you guys. Well, I'm going to thank you guys all for joining us. And those of you who watch the replay of this as well, we actually have an incredible podcast. I love it so much. Exploring the Marketplace with Bob and I. You can get it anywhere you find podcasts. Make sure to subscribe to it. We have incredible guests this season. We've been able to curate some stories that I think are going to give you so much faith, because in every story, I think, Bob, someone says, and then God showed me how to do that, or and then God spoke to me, or and then God gave me a dream. And these are people who aren't even from the world we're from ministry-wise. This is just general Christianity, people we've had on the show who are in great places and great spaces where their faith is being so activated. So I'm going to encourage you guys to join us in the conversation of exploring the marketplace. Join us on our social media channels at Bob Hassan, at Sean Bowles, in different ways. We have Instagram and YouTube and these places. So make sure to join us there. And we will see you guys next time on Exploring the Marketplace or Exploring the Marketplace Live. Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlesministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.